The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today we shall be reading lots of Halloween books because October is the month where Halloween comes. Our first book today is called The Fierce Yellow Pumpkin by Margaret Wise Brown. There was once a small pumpkin in a great big field, a very small green pumpkin the size of an apple. The fierce sun burned down on the little pumpkin, and he grew and he grew. And pretty soon there was a fat little, round little, yellow little pumpkin in the great big field. Now, this fat little, round little, yellow little pumpkin grew so fat and full of himself that he began to think that he was a very fierce vegetable, as fierce as the sun that warmed his fat, round sides. "Ho, ho, ho," he would say. "When I grow up, I will scare the field mice out of the field just like the scarecrow does." The little pumpkin would have dearly loved to make a fierce, ferocious gobble-gobble face like the scarecrows at the far end of the field. But try as he would, his own pumpkin face stayed smooth and yellow and shining. Then one day, the sun did not shine as hot as fire, and blackbirds, skies full of blackbirds, began flying over the big field. There was a burning smell of leaves in the air and a crisp tingle that tickled the fat little pumpkin's sides. There were so many birds in the sky that the scarecrow was busy from before daylight until after daylight, chasing those birds out of his field. His gobble-gobble face became droopy and dreadful. The wind blew whoo through his hair. He lost one scarecrow eye. The old scarecrow knew that if there is anything that a blackbird is scared of, it is a one-eyed scarecrow. But then that night, and the night after, something began to happen. The first cold frost came in the night, and the fat little, round little, yellow little pumpkin woke up one morning and discovered that he was a fierce orange-yellow pumpkin, the color of the sun, a burning, fierce color. Then three little children came galloping through the big field past the old one-eyed scarecrow. They ran right up to the fat little, round little, orange little pumpkin, and one little girl called out, "Here he is! Here is our terrible pumpkin!" So they cut the pumpkin's heavy stem with a little saw knife. Each taking turns, they carried the pumpkin home, across the field to their house. The little pumpkin liked that. And then, with the little yellow saw knife, they hollowed him all out, empty inside, sweet-smelling and clean as a whistle. And then they cut one big round eye in the side of his face, a big round hole, and the little pumpkin liked that. "Ho, ho," laughed the pumpkin, the fierce yellow pumpkin. "I'm a one-eyed pumpkin for sure." And then they cut another big round hole on the other side of his face. "Ho, ho," laughed the pumpkin, the fierce yellow pumpkin. "I'm a fierce yellow pumpkin for sure." But that wasn't all. The children cut a sharp shape in the pumpkin for a nose, the shape of a witch's hat. And that wasn't all either. They took the little saw knife and they sawed zigzag, zigzag, up and down until the pumpkin had a whole mouth full of sharp zigzag teeth. And then, with a loud ho-ho, The little pumpkin laughed a dreadful zigzag laugh across his zigzag teeth. Ho, 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 he, 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 mice will run when they see me. He was certainly a fierce and ferocious pumpkin with a terrific, terrible face. And after a while it was night. There was black darkness all around, inky black darkness. The children came in with a lighted candle and stuck it inside the pumpkin so that the light shined out of his big round eyes and his triangle nose. And the light shined over his zigzag teeth. He was a horrible sight to see. Grrr, in the dark. He grinned a zigzag grin there in the corner of the porch. Grrr. And the children danced around him, singing a song to the terrific, terrible pumpkin with the zigzag grin. And the little pumpkin was fierce and happy, and he sang, Ho, 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 he, 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 mice will run when they see me. And you know what they did? Those mice did run when they saw him. And our last picture shows mice running away when they see that pumpkin. This book is Queen of Halloween by Mary Englebright. Anne Estelle had the perfect Halloween costume, a long lacy skirt, a bright shiny wand, and a pair of glittery wings. And a crown, of course. She was the fairy queen. Her friend Michael was a pirate. He had a sword, an eye patch, a pirate vest, and big black boots. Yo ho ho, said Michael. Tra la la, said Anne Estelle. Trick or treat. We don't need a grown-up, said Michael. We're old enough to go out trick-or-treating alone. Anne Estelle wasn't so sure about that. The night looked very dark. But she didn't want Michael to think she was scared. Well, you might not need a grown-up, but I need some kids, said Anne Estelle's father. Let's go before all the candy's gone. Anne Estelle had been right. The night was dark. Even the street lights didn't seem very bright. There were ghosts and witches running everywhere. Don't be scared, said Anne Estelle's father as he squeezed her hand tight. It's just pretend. I know, said Anne Estelle, but she squeezed his hands back. Pirates are brave, said Michael. Queens are brave, too, said Anne Estelle. They got chocolate bars from a witch. They got lollipops from a spooky mummy. They got apples from Mrs. McGilligan, Anne Estelle's teacher. Good for your teeth, she said. Their bags got heavier and heavier. What a lot of candy inside each of their bags. It's late, said Anne Estelle's father. Time to head home. One more house, said Anne Estelle. Can we go alone? Asked Michael. We're old enough. Well, all right, said Anne Estelle's father. I'll wait for you on the sidewalk. Now just go up and ring the doorbell. The house was big and old. The wind blew in the bushes as Anne Estelle and Michael came up the sidewalk. The closer they got, the scarier that house looked. They could hear a dog barking nearby. Anne Estelle didn't like big dogs. She wanted to look back at her dad, but then Michael would know that she was scared. The porch steps creaked. The dog barked again. I don't think anybody's home, Michael whispered. Let's go back. Anne Estelle looked at Michael. His voice sounded shaky. The eye that wasn't covered by a patch was very wide. Anne Estelle realized something. Michael was afraid. Somehow, that made Aunt Estelle feel braver. "Let's ring the bell," she said. "But there's a dog," said Michael. "It's in the backyard," said Aunt Estelle. "It won't hurt us." She pushed the doorbell with her finger. But no one came. "See, nobody's home," said Michael. But then the door cracked open. "Trick or treat," said Aunt Estelle. She poked Michael. "Trick or treat," he said. "You're my last trick or treaters," said the white-haired woman who opened the door. "So you might as well take all this candy." Michael and Aunt Estelle held out their bags. Then they ran down the front walk to Aunt Estelle's father. "You did it," he said. "Queens are brave," said Aunt Estelle, "and pirates, too." "So you weren't even a little scared?" asked her father. Aunt Estelle looked at Michael. Michael looked at Aunt Estelle. "Oh, we were scared, all right," said Aunt Estelle. "But you know, you have to be a little scared so that you can be brave." Our next story is called Drusilla's Halloween by Sally M. Walker. And this story is about how witches started to ride brooms. Once upon a Halloween, a million spells ago, witches prepared for a spine-chilling night. They scooped out pumpkins and carved scary faces. They gulped extra potions that grew extra warts on their chins. While their cats practiced hissing, the witches honed their cackling skills with petrifying results. Last but not least, they put a lot of mousse on the hair on each cat's back so that it stood up spikier than ever. In those days, witches sneaked silently on foot, spooking and spelling. They did not think yet about riding on a broomstick. So before they crept towards the town folks' homes, they practiced walking on tiptoe. And there it shows three witches tiptoeing into town so they can scare the people that live there. All of them practiced tiptoeing before Halloween, but for the very ancient Drusilla, the oldest and the ricketyest witch of all, she slumped on the floor of her mountaintop house, moaning as loudly as the wind in the trees. "Woe is me, what shall I do?" Drusilla wailed to the rafters. She slapped her knees angrily and stood up. Snap, crack, creak, pop, went her knees. Drusilla covered her ears. "Hush, you treacherous old knees, you're robbing me of being able to surprise people on Halloween." She limped to the door and glared down at the town. Her cat, Drizzle, wandered himself around her legs. "I must think fast. I won't let my noisy knees spoil my plans." Snap, crack, creak, pop. An ear-splitting hee-haw pierced the air. Drusilla grabbed her jack-o'-lantern and a rope. With eyes like steel, she said, "Come on now, Drizzle, I have an idea." And Drizzle and Drusilla shambled out to the field. Her uproarious knees sent squirrels scurrying into the trees. Snap, crack, creak, pop. Rabbits drove into their holes. Fireflies turned off their lights. Those knees were really loud. Drusilla's donkey rolled his eyes. Drusilla tied the rope around his neck. Carefully balancing her jack-o'-lantern, she pulled herself up onto the donkey's back. She cackled triumphantly. Come on, Drizzle. We have work to do. Giddy up! The donkey didn't budge. Drusilla kicked her heels. Nothing. She kicked some more. He still didn't move. That donkey did not feel like moving. She squeezed her eyes shut, pinched her nose tightly, and forced herself to add, "Please?" Still no luck. "Okay, pal, you asked for it." She closed her eyes and chanted, "Swiftly, silently, gallop, I say. Carry me quickly to town today." But the donkey was too stubborn to fall under Drusilla's spell. He brayed again and sat down. Drizzle leaped as the jack-o'-lantern rolled. Drusilla slid to the ground with a groan. Drusilla struggled to her feet. Snap, crack, creak, pop. The noises bent the blades of the grass and echoed through the hills. But Drusilla smiled when she saw her wheelbarrow. With an oof that came all the way up from her toes, she heaved herself and her jack-o'-lantern into that wheelbarrow. Drizzle settled on her lap. Drusilla closed her eyes and chanted, "Swiftly, silently, wheelbarrow roll. Soon my spells will take their toll." The wheelbarrow rolled downhill, zigzagging wildly, before Drusilla could chant a stopping spell. Crash! That wheelbarrow had run headfirst into a wooden fence. The wheels came off, the fence broke, the wheelbarrow broke into pieces, and so did the jack-o'-lantern. Poor old Drusilla fell to the ground. Spitting mad, Drusilla shook her fist at the town. "Don't kunk me out. I have not yet begun to fright." Drusilla hobbled up the hill towards her house. Snap, crackle, creak, pop went her knees. When her chickens heard her coming, they shivered so hard that their feathers fell off. The wind swirled them up around Drusilla. She smiled another witchy smile. Quickly, Drusilla took off her cape and filled it with feathers. "Drizzle, we have work to do." Drusilla smeared her arms with paste. She patted feathers onto them until her arms were covered from her shoulders to her fingertips with feathers. Drusilla crackled and flapped her arms. She rose to the kitchen ceiling. Circling once, she kicked open the door and flew outside to try her wings. Her cries of success turned to tears when a dark cloud burst and rain soaked her chickeny feathers. A downpour of feathers fell to the ground as the rain washed away the paste. Drusilla landed just in time. Boom! "Well, even if those wings had worked, there would have been no seat for you," she said to Drizzle. "But we can't give up now." Leftover feathers dotted around the kitchen floor. Drusilla shook her head and picked up her broom. Just as she swept her first sweep, she thought an interesting thought. Drusilla closed her eyes and chanted, "Eye of toad, tail of bat, a fine flat place to seat my cat. Handle thin, handle long, perfect to hang my pumpkin on. Blood of worms, wings of bees, a quiet flight for noisy knees. Up and down around the room, get up and fly, you beautiful broom." The broom rose into the air. It hovered waiting in front of Drusilla. "Drizzle, it was time we were swept off our feet." Drusilla grabbed her emergency backup jack-o'-lantern and hung it from the handle. She perched herself behind it. Drizzle leaped on and growled a happy growl. Before you could say whoosh, they whisked out the door. Drusilla's silent ambush became a witchy legend. that long ago, Halloween night, Drusilla successfully scared each child, but only as much as he or she wanted to be scared, just as she had planned. And in the next worldwide witch meeting, the witches took a vote, tiptoeing or broomsticks on Halloween. And broomsticks won by a landslide. And ever since then, witches have ridden broomsticks on Halloween. Our next story is not a Halloween story. It is called The Story of Ferdinand by Munro Leaf. Once upon a time in Spain, there was a little bull, and his name was Ferdinand. All the other little bulls he lived with would run and jump and butt their heads together, but not Ferdinand. He liked to sit quietly and smell the flowers. He had his favorite spot out in the pasture under a cork tree. It was his favorite tree, and he would sit in its shade all day long and smell the flowers. Sometimes his mother, who was a cow, would worry about him. She was afraid he would be lonesome all by himself. "Why don't you run and play with the other little bulls and skip and butt your head?" she would say. But Ferdinand would shake his head. "I like it better here, where I can just sit quietly and smell the flowers." His mother saw that he was not lonesome, and because she was an understanding mother, even though she was a cow, she let him just sit there and be happy. And as the years went by, Ferdinand grew and grew until he was very big and very strong. All the other bulls who had grown up with him in the same pasture would fight each other all day long. They would butt each other and stick each other with their horns. What they wanted the most of all was to be picked to fight at the bullfights in Madrid. But not Ferdinand. He still liked to sit just quietly under the cork tree and smell the flowers. One day, five men came in very funny hats to pick the biggest, fastest, roughest bull to fight in the bullfights in Madrid. All the other bulls ran around snorting and butting, leaping and jumping so the men would think that they were very, very strong and fierce and pick them. Ferdinand knew that they wouldn't pick him, and he didn't care. So he went out to his favorite cork tree to sit down. He did not look where he was sitting, and instead of sitting on the nice cool grass in the shade, he sat on a bumblebee. Well, if you were a bumblebee and a bull sat on you, what would you do? You would sting him. And that is just what this bee did to Ferdinand. Wow, did it hurt? Ferdinand jumped up with a snort. He ran around puffing and snorting and putting and bawing the ground as if he were crazy. The five men saw him, and they all shouted with joy. Here was the largest and fiercest bull of all, just the one for the bullfights in Madrid. And so they took him away for the bullfight day in a cart. What a day it was! Flags were flying, bands were playing, and all the lovely ladies had flowers in their hair. They had a parade into the bull ring. First came the banderilleros with long, sharp pins with ribbons on them to stick in the bull and to make him mad. Next came the picadores, who rode skinny horses, and they had long spears to stick in the bull and to make him even madder. Then came the matador, the proudest of all. He was the bullfighter. He thought he was very handsome and bowed to the ladies. He had a red cape and a sword, and he was supposed to stick the bull the very last of all. And then came the bull. And you know who that was, don't you? Ferdinand. They called him Ferdinand the Fierce, and all the Bandereros were afraid of him, and the Picadores were afraid of him, and the Matador was scared stiff. Ferdinand ran to the middle of the ring, and everyone shouted and clapped, because they thought he was going to fight fiercely and butt and snort and stick his horns all around. But not Ferdinand. When he got to the middle of the ring, he saw the flowers and all the lovely ladies' hair, and he just sat down quietly and smelled. He wouldn't fight and be fierce, no matter what they did. He just sat and smelled. And the Bandereros were mad, and the Picadores were madder, and the Matador was so mad he cried, because he couldn't show off with his cape and his sword. And so they had to take Ferdinand home. And for all I know, he is sitting there still, under his favorite tree, smelling the flowers very quietly. And he is very, very happy. And now this book is called Pete the Cat and Five Little Pumpkins. Pete the Cat is a blue cat that's in every single picture here. Five little pumpkins sitting on a gate. The first one said, "Oh my, it's getting late." The second one said, "There are witches in the air." The third one said, "But we don't care." And there's Pete the Cat and the one pumpkin there, still on the gate. The fourth pumpkin said, "Let's run and run and run." And there are all the five little pumpkins running down the garden path with Pete the Cat in red sneakers running along beside them. The fifth one said, "I'm ready for some fun." And there's Pete the Blue Cat and a little bird and the fifth pumpkin, all with trick-or-treat bags. "Ooh, ooh," said the wind. And the pumpkins looked a little scared. And out went the light. And all you can see is the five little pumpkin faces still sitting on the gate. And the five little pumpkins rolled out of sight. And off they go, rolling down the sidewalk, each with on a little rollerboard. Happy Halloween! Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.